What we were saying earlier about the beginning of the middle path and understanding is also true for the continuation of the middle path and understanding. It's no different for the person who is hearing Dhamma for the first time or for the person who has been hearing Dhamma for decades. The conditions for the arising of understanding and therefore of the middle path are the same. There has to be the hearing again and again, the reflection again and again, understanding what has been heard again and again. Because the accumulation of wrong view and ignorance is so great that unless there is the continual reinforcement of what one has previously heard and understood, then wrong view will take one away from the reality of the present moment. So again, I'm just trying to make the point, it's the same for everyone. It doesn't vary from one individual to another.
So if the middle way is momentary, then can we say the middle way is anicca, anatta and dukkha?
All conditioned realities.
I never thought of it like that.
And these realities when the Kuttara Dhammas are anicca, dukkha and anatta.
How many Lokuttara Dhammas are there?
Eight, nine. Mm-hmm.
Which one arises and falls away?
Four. Oh, no, not Nibbana, no.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think I was reading that there are sankara. They are Sankara Dhamma, so they are anicca and dukkha, but they don't belong to the truth of dukkha. They don't belong to the First Noble Truth.
Can it be known?
I don't know.
See, the arising and falling away of Sankara Khanda should be known before directly understand the characteristic of the third one. Without the first one, and the second one, can there be the moment of penetrating the nature of the third one? So that's why the Lokuttara Cittas are not included in dukkha, because they're not there to condition right understanding to the degree that it can have less attachments. Because the Four Noble Truths talking about the cause and the effect. What condition what? For example, the second truth conditioned the first truth, and the fourth one conditioned the moment of attaining right understanding of the third one.
So they are the eight Lokuttara Dhammas are anicca, ardukha, but they're not included in the first noble truth.
Yeah. So where they are included?
Its nature is like that, but since it does not arise to be object of understanding of dukkha, right? Can you have it now to understand the characteristic which is dukkha, arising and falling away? Mm-hmm. That's why it's not. They're not included.
Yes, because the Lokuttara, eight Lokuttara Cittas, Lokuttara Dhammas, they are not included in the First Noble Truth. So were they included in which truth? In the third one?
So what are the Four Noble Truths?
This is the Noble Truth of Dukkha, of the
Dukkha Samudaya. other conditioned reality can be experienced directly to see the natures of dukkha.
They are not upadana khandas.
Because upadana khanda, that second one cannot condition the lokutra dhamma. That's why by talking about the cause and result, the second Ariya Satcha can condition only moments which are not lokutra chittas at all.
But the third one can.
And the third one is the Nibbana. It can be only object, which the fourth one will lead to directly experience the third one.
So this is actually the fourth. The Lokutara Chittas must be fourth of the Noble Truths. The fourth.
Lokutara Chitta?
Lokutara Chitta.
The eight Chittasikas. And that's why there are two words, the Ariya Makka and only the Makka Satcha.
Can you explain the difference? What's the difference between the
when it's not the Ariya yet, it's only Makka. But at moment of Sotapanna, there must be the eight factors too.
Those Lokutara Jittas that aren't included in the Four Noble Truths because they cannot be clung to. Is that
and
correct?
And the second one, attachment cannot condition the Lokutara Jittas at all.
And what's the ninth one? The Nibbana.
Included, but for example, in Paticca Samuppada, dependent origination, where Lokutara Jittas, same thing.
The point was in the Four Noble Truths, there are Lokutara Jittas, and while the Buddha told that all five khandas are dukkha, so I thought if he talks about all khandas, because they are still khandas, the Lokutara Chittas, Lokutara Dhammas are still khandas, so I was thinking where they are classified in Four Noble Truths.
In short, Panchupadana Khanda Dukkha, so khandas that can be clung to, khandas that may be.
Yeah, but still they've got some kind of conditioned nature, even the Lokutaras.
They have conditioned nature, but cannot be the object of clinging.
So this is the difference between Kanda
and Upadana. You can repeat, please.
So this highlights the difference between the Kandas and Upadana Kanda.
Can you elaborate a bit more, maybe? Not
much. Upadana khanda means the khandas that can be clung to, and these do not include the nine Lokutara dhammas, that is the eight factors, the jetasikas and the eight path factors, and nibbana. Whereas khandas do include the eight path factors. Eight path factors are included in khandas, but not in upadana khanda.
And just to clarify that, khandas are only upadana khandas at the moment of clinging to it. So all conditioned dhammas are khandas, but only at the moment that they are the object of clinging, are they upadana khandas.
Because sometimes it's in Tipitaka like this is Rupa Kanda, this is Vedana Kanda, this is Sanya Kanda, this is Sankara Kanda, this is Vijnana Kanda, all explained. They don't say this is Rupa Upadana Kanda, Vedana Upadana Kanda. But for example, Libhibhanga, the first analysis of Kandas, it's Rupa Kanda, Vedana Kanda, Sanya Sankara.
Yes, yeah, all conditioned dharmas are Kandas. But if there's no clinging, then...
Oh, but it's not music, yeah.
Even the, another meaning of Upadana Khanda is not just that which is conditioned by with its object of clinging, but even that which is conditioned by tanha or attachment is the Upadana Khanda. For example, whatever is conditioned by attachment or lobha must be Upadana Khanda in that sense. But when it, that which becomes the object of clinging, it is another meaning of Upadana Khanda. So there are two meanings of Upadana Khanda. But both meaning, as the, it cannot be object of clinging, even it's conditioned, and it's not conditioned by clinging either, because Lokuttara cannot be conditioned by clinging, and it cannot be object of clinging.
Could we say that Pasada Rupa is
Upadana Khanda in the Rupa. Sense that it's conditioned by clinging, and at that moment when it's object of clinging, it's another meaning of Upadana Khanda.
And so in the first sense, any khandas conditioned by clinging refer to any realities conditioned by karma, so Pasada Rupa is conditioned by karma. Seeing, hearing, any dharmas conditioned by karma, Upadana Khanda in that sense. It, because it's conditioned by karma.
So I believe it has been said that Panya, Chittasika, is not object of clinging, right?
Why not? Everyone would like to have it so much.
Okay. Because you mentioned the factors of Eightfold Path are not included in the Upadana Khanda.
The eight Lokuttara path factors, yeah. The eight path factors of Lokuttara Citta.
We were distinguishing earlier, I think it was the Zita asked about the distinction between the eightfold, between the path and the Aryan path. So now, if the moment of right understanding of reality occurs, there are five path factors arising at that moment, five or six. And these can all be the object of clinging, but at the moment of enlightenment, when the Lokuttara path factors arise, it's the Aryan path, and it is these Lokuttara cittas and dharmas that can't be the object of clinging.
Explained in Aramana Pachaya that the Lokuttara cittas cannot be object condition for Lobha Mula cittas. Exception.
So for the ordinary people, any moment of the path has only five or six path factors, but for the Aryans, like Sotapanna, each moment of Maka, how many? Eight, always eight. Yes, so but at the other moments when there is understanding, also five or six. Okay, but that's just, I'm not so clear about that, because it said that the three Virati cittas have the function to eradicate the three the Micha the wrong livelihood and so on.
Only when they arise with the Lokutra Chitas, only at the moment of enlightenment.
Okay, so
is there any eradication?
So at the ordinary moments for the Sotapanna, for example, there's still the Virati Chitta, for example, at the moment of refraining from harsh speech.
The Virati from those kinds of speech that hasn't been eradicated, and for the Arahat, because nothing to be abstained from, so no Virati Chitta seekers can arise.
Okay.
There can't be the right speech, right action, right livelihood. These are called the three Virati Chitta seekers. So these don't arise for the Arahat at all.
Okay, but for others, they still arise?
At the level of those factors to be abstained from that haven't been eradicated.
Okay.
For example, for the Sotapanna, there's no refraining from taking alcohol. There's no refraining from killing because there's no inclination to kill or to drink anymore.
But for the hard speech or how to say, like not necessary speech. Okay. The three Viratis don't arise for an Arahat, but at Arahat Magachit, do they arise? It's eight.
At that point, there'll be eight factors, so all Akusa completely eradicated finally. So they would arise at the moment of Arahatship, but no more refraining after that. Last hint of a remnant in the Anusya only. I mean, of course, the Anagami about to attain Arahatship is not going to be involved in frivolous speech, but just a hint of an Anusya of something.
I just would like to add something. It's also a question because we had some discussion in Poland about if the Arahants can entertain. And some people think like they can laugh, for example. Is it true? But they say, oh, this is the texts are old and orthodox. And they can smile, but cannot laugh, Arahant.
Not to that degree.
Not to that degree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the people still say, oh, so many Arahants in the world and a lot of funny Arahants, so the text must be wrong. Then say like this.
And what's wrong? What is wrong?
What is wrong? They say that in the text they are wrong.
Not the text.
So
they are wrong.
Oh, they are. I thought
did Buddha laugh?
No, never.
He is an Arahata.
Hasitu pada citta of the Arahat.
Hasitu
pada. The citta, the smiling citta of an Arahat or Buddha.
And it can be Mahakriya citta with Somanasa too.
Okay, but is it Ahetuka or Ahetuka Dupaka or what?
It would have to be Ahetuka.
Hasitu pada is Kriya citta.
Kriya citta.
Ahetuka.
Ahetuka Kriya citta.
Thank you.
the object of that citta?
It can be a skeleton, even.
A skeleton.
Yeah, and then the Buddha smiled. Yeah.
Basically, worldly things. Worldly things.
So the smile is a reflection of understanding.
But at that moment, it's kriyachitta.
At that moment, it's kriyachitta, which is ahetuka.
Or with somanasa, which is not ahetuka, with or without panya, depending on conditions.
A different moment afterwards.
I just read this morning in the book on conditionality by Nina, and it is said that for the arahant, the kusala and akusala can be object condition for the kriyachitta to review this dhamma. So I guess that when they become the object conditions, the kriya just knows about what has been, but just no more akusala or kusala. So I was just thinking about in our case, when we review the kusala or akusala citta, it can be the conditions for the arising of either kusala or akusala at that moment of reviewing.
For us. But not for the arahant.
Okay.
He can reflect about the akusala which has been in the past and which is eradicated, mm-hmm. which has been eradicated by panya.
Mm-hmm. So when we review our past kusala or akusala, it can be the object of sati and panya?
It can.
Yes. Then it's sanya, which is the object at that moment, and not the kusala or akusala itself, right?
But what has been, what has fallen away already?
Mm-hmm.
One can think about it, is understanding.
The understanding of the kusala and or akusala, or the understanding of sanya?
That it is conditioned and not self, that it only arose because of conditions.
So any
reality can be object of understanding.
Okay. It can be either way, depending on condition at that moment.
Yes.
Yeah. We were having a discussion last night over dinner and talking about sanya, and someone said that sanya can be weak. Is that correct?
In what sense?
Well, pina.
I didn't use the word weak. That's sort of... there's visama sanya, which is translated as fictitious sanya, which is a bit confusing. I can't really explain what it is. I can only imagine, but it's in the Visuddhimagga.
Sama and visama. Visama is unusual or strange, and sama is ordinary or common. So like now it's sama sanya that arises, and visama is when, for example, at the moment of stealing, it's very strong lobha at that moment, and the sanya accompanying it would also be visama, unusual or very strange. Is that right?
Esanadi strong sanya of like tira sanya of understanding reality right now as anicchang dukkhang anatta, not self. Mm-hmm.
Or very strong in either the good sense that we talked about, the tirasanya in terms of understanding reality, or in the akusala sense, for example, at the moment of stealing or something like that.
Like sanya, which arises with akusala chittas, after seeing the aswa moment.
Akusala
chittas follow the seeing consciousness, right? Akusala chittas follow.
Yes.
The seeing, is it strong enough to be known?
Yeah, but I was just interested in why they would use fictitious.
What does it mean?
It's
because you just be able to think about it. You cannot really directly have it as object.
Is this the same visama as when
I don't know whether that word represents the same degree, because usually it's visama lopa, ordinary lopa, but we have to understand of what degree it's considered as just ordinary. Like now it's ordinary for any akusala to arise after seeing, right? Is that the meaning? Ordinary, not as strong.
In the Visuddhimagga, excuse me, it's in relation, it's compared to the blind who see an elephant. So it's like wrong, not necessarily in the sense that Sarah's making it sound like it's an attempt to do something wrong. It's just...
We're talking about like when someone who's summering used the globe, but this is more common.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's wrong. Like it doesn't remember correctly what is seen or perceived.
It's okay.
Yes, it just occurs to me that like at some moment, I remember I saw something white, and then at that moment I thought it was a cow. And just the next moment, I realized that it was not a cow, but it was a goat. So I wonder whether it refers to that.
To me, it seems to refer to something like that.
But did they use the word
Jisama,
Sanya, and the Pali?
Yes.
But what about if you really believe that it's a goat, not a cow? At that moment?
Both are vilasa. Yeah. But both are vipalasa sanya, but one, it conforms to the conventional nimitta.
I think that we are talking about different aspects. For example, when we talk about vipalasa, it arises with all akusala cittas. No matter through what doorway with asava, which arise after seeing or not. Sanya vipalasa from then on.
Yes. So vipalasa is the same thing as visama.
Moment of akusala only.
Are you familiar with the phrase visama sanya, used with sanya rather than visama loba? Usually we talk about visama loba. Are you familiar with this expression?
I don't know about that at all. In Thai, I'm not sure whether what word
you'd like to
Pali.
Look it up, it's Visuddhimagga 759 and Sanyutta Nikaya 3, 140 to 142. They use this term.
Okay, but if we can understand reality, then we can understand that, right? No matter it's called visama or just that word in English for sanya, that there are akusla moments, strongly or not strong, akusla, right? For example, attachment to the object after seeing, even that object, hasn't fallen away yet. Is it possible to have attachment to the object, like visible object or sound, which hasn't fallen away yet? It can be moments of attachment after seeing, after sampatichanna, after santirana, after votapana, right? Who knows that? See? But when it's with other doorways, more and more, like mind door, seeing and mind door, and taking it for something, at that moment, the degree of attachment is stronger than moments after, directly from, after the seeing and seeing, so forth. So it depends on what it's meant by that word.
Usually we know that sanya vipalasa arises with every akusala citta, like even when I know that this is my glass and I don't get it mixed up with your glass, but even at just even looking at it, a moment of akusala, then it's sanya vipalasa. But in the text they often give the examples of when one mistakes the elephant for the cow or gets something confused, because this is just an example of when it's usually there's stronger sanya vipalasa.
To be understood.
To be understood, yes, because it's more apparent at that time. Yeah. So like this is sound, it's like a more obvious example of sanya vipalasa when there's the mixing up with the, what is it, the part of the elephant? Or
people only understand part of it, not all of it. So it's not necessarily they understand wrongly what they're touching, but they don't understand, I mean, in the conventional sense, they don't have the whole picture.
So it's like a simile that is given for an example of when ditti arises and the sanya vipalasa that arises with the ditti. So it's a strong, more apparent example. So in that sense, they may use the word visama.
Vipalasa is stronger or visama is stronger?
Vipalasa refers to the sanya vipalasa at every single moment of akusala, but if it's sanya vipalasa with ditti, then it's stronger than just common, ordinary sanya vipalasa.